This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's your brother Yahya Ibrahim with another daily tafsir, a juz a day. And alhamdulillah, we're in juz number 22. Surah Al-Ahzab is featured prominently in juz number 22. It's one of those surahs where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instills in us a level of gratefulness after difficulty. And the Prophet ﷺ was surrounded by enemies, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives favor upon him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his status, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Prophet to the believers that he is close to you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that the Prophet has a love for the believers, and therefore in return he advises us subhanahu wa ta'ala to be from those who take the Prophet's decisions and his verdicts as law, to be from those who understand that he is a witness over us, that he is a giver of good news, that he's a forbidder of evil, that he's a warner, he's a caller to Allah, da'iyan Allah, wasirajan munira. He's one who is like a lamp in the darkness, whose light radiates beyond him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and into the ages until it reaches us today. It speaks about the etiquettes that we must show to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this surah is the most beautiful verses. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuha al-lazina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Allah speaks about the consequence of being distant from the Prophet ﷺ or harming other prophets. And Allah says near the end of the surah, Ya ayyuha al-lazina amanu la takunu kal-lazina azaw Musa fabarra'ahu Allahu mimma qalu. O you who believe, don't be harmful to your Prophet as those who came before you were harmful to Moses alayhi salam. So it speaks also about the virtue of Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his children, his grandchildren, his wives, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Surah Al-Ahzab is about the battle of Ahzab, the good news of victory, that Allah sends forces that are unseen and that the angels are there to assist us. It also speaks and touches about the conquest of Bani Qurayza. And it speaks directly to the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be a high standard and a pillar within our communities. And the order of the veil was established in Surah Al-Ahzab. Ya ayyuha nabi, O Messenger of God, Prophet of God, قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين, say to your wives, to your daughters, and to the women of the believers, يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن, to cloak themselves with their jilbab. All of this is found in that surah, and a few of the ahkam that relates to divorce and remarriage and so on. The next surah is Surah Sabah, which is the 34th chapter of the Quran. And Surah Sabah is a beautiful surah. It is about Allah's bounties and favors that are changed as a recompense of misdeeds and disobedience. And the Prophet ﷺ is given this prophetic guidance to be appreciating of the ni'mah of Allah, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, so that they can be extended, protected, and that they can be shared with others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks directly about those who are governed and those who are governors, and that each of them has a right to each other, and that they are both really a reflection of one another. And therefore, when you don't like what you see in society, it really begins with you looking inwardly to bring about that change. And it's one person who becomes a collection that can bring that change. All of this is an underlying theme in Surah Sabah, that no obedience should be given in matters where it calls to lewdness and sinfulness and deviance from a path of truth, and that istighfar is one of the things that heals us, and these are all things that should be pondered by all of us in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Sabah is a very powerful surah that speaks about a city that changed in its faithfulness to Allah. فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ, it disbelieved in the blessings of Allah, and therefore it was taken from it. فَأَذَاقَهَا لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ, they were made to taste hunger and thirst as a consequence. The next chapter is Surah, actually before Surah Fatir, the consequence of that disbelief is that people begin to feud with one another, that we don't see the mistake as being within ourselves. It's about blaming others, and that's something that you see in society today. The next surah is Surah Fatir, which is surah number 35, and it speaks about Allah, the word Fatir, Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, that Allah is the originator, the innovator, the only one who was brought out of nothingness, something subhanahu wa ta'ala. It opens with Allah speaking about his angels and his creation of them and their massive beauty. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His rahmah, and that it is only Allah who spreads His mercy, and that it is only Allah who can confine it. And therefore it becomes an important process for you and I to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that gains His rahmah, His mercy, and that anguish, and that saves us from the anguish of our sins and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the purpose of creation in the surah. Just like the angels were created, they don't have a choice. You have a choice, O mankind. Allah speaks about the deception of human beings, of the shaitan and his allure, and the allure of the worldly life to lead us away from him. Allah speaks about the weakness that is found within us as human beings, that within us we have a dependency on Allah, and if we don't recognize it, it makes us even weaker if we don't turn to him in aid. Allah speaks to us about righteous deeds, that they are for our own benefit. It's not something that benefits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah gives these in parables. He speaks about the blind in comparison to the one who sees, the darkness in comparison to the light, the one who's in the shade and that of the sun, the one who's alive in comparison to the one who's dead. All of it similitudes of faith and lack of. Responses to the people, Allah responds in different ways to us at different times, and that we are people who are in a trade with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're in commerce with Allah. You're buying and selling your soul in that which is righteousness and seeking that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of those are overarching themes that we find in Surah Fatir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to be from those who maintain that. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins and introduces to us Surah Yasin, which is a magnificent surah. It's dear to the hearts of all Muslims. There's a number of hadith that have been mentioned on it. Many of them are weak and don't have authentic chains of narration, but the ones that are authentic do establish its primary role within our belief system as Muslims. It seeks to fulfill two important processes, which is confirming the Prophet Muhammad as a true messenger of Allah, and what his role is and what the role of the prophets before him were. And second, that the resurrection and that al-ba'th wa nushur is a reality, that there will be a day where we stood in front of our Creator and asked and questioned about how we lived our life. Surah Yasin comes from the first two letters, Ya and Seen, and these letters have been made as a name for the Prophet ﷺ. Ya Seen wal Qur'an al-Hakim, innaka, because it's as if it is speaking directly, innaka, you, O Muhammad, lamin al-mursaleen. Although there is no record of this being stated by the Prophet ﷺ, that it is one of his names. It has been given other descriptions by the ulama. It's been called al-mudafi'a, the one that defends you, and al-qadiya, the one that, settles matters with Allah, and it is al-mu'ammima, the thing that is overwhelming in its comprehensive dealings and nature. There are three important sections of the surah. The first is the trueness of the message of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, that Allah will protect him. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا, that we put a veil and a blindness between you and them. They won't be able to reach you. You will be protected, O Muhammad ﷺ. The deeds are written, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we say. And Allah gives the example in it of a man who heard, who at his death sees the blessings of life, and he says, يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ. Oh, I wish my people who I'm leaving behind, my wife, my children, my tribe, this city that I live in, that they knew what I see now and the blessing that Allah has destined because of my faith and belief in Him. And Allah mentions that there were three messengers that were sent to them. No one believed in them except this humble man. And it's like the example of a dead land that is irrigated and it comes and thrives. Our attitude is to Allah. Finally, it's about the afterlife, which is the beginning of the next juz. I hope that you continue with me in this process. This is your brother Yahya Ibrahim with a daily tafsir and a juz by day. This was juz number 22. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.